Welcome to the Covenant of Peace radio broadcast, the teaching ministry of Pastor Blair Bradley. This program is dedicated to bringing you the glorious truth of God's Word, one verse at a time.
A mighty fortress is our God.
We are living in powerful days, and we are seeing tremendous changes in our lives, our culture, our nation, and in the church. So now more than ever, we have a great need to exercise spiritual discernment and to know what the Bible teaches about the important issues that we all face today. So let's join Pastor Blair as he continues our study on the Word of God.
Welcome again, my beloved in Jesus Christ. We're continuing our verse-by-verse journey through the Epistle of Jude, and today I want to begin a new section of study and look at what Jude taught about the common salvation. So let's open our Bibles and read Jude verse 3 together. Beloved, while I was making every effort to write you about our common salvation, I felt the necessity to write to you, appealing that you contend earnestly for the faith which was once for all handed down to the saints. Now, notice here in this third verse that Jude said that he had started out to write this letter to the church about the common salvation, but that as he began to write, the Holy Spirit had strongly showed Jude that it was a necessity that he stop writing about the common salvation and that he write this epistle to the church and tell the church that they must contend earnestly for the faith which was once for all handed down to the saints. And Lord willing, we're going to get into exactly what Jude said about us contending earnestly for the faith in future broadcasts. But what in the world did Jude mean here when he says the common salvation? During the days of the apostles, during the time when those who had actually seen Jesus and who had been with him when Jesus died and had seen him after his resurrection and who had been taught by the Lord for 40 days after the resurrection and who had literally seen Jesus ascend up into heaven, and also those apostles who came after the 12, like Paul and Apollos, during those days, there was absolutely no confusion about what the Church of Jesus believed and what the Church of Jesus taught. The book of the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 2, verse 42, gives us insight into what went on in the church of the first century among those who were saved. The Bible says there they were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone kept feeling a sense of awe, and many wonders and signs were taking place through the apostles. And all those who had believed were together and had all things in common. So when the Bible says here that the church had all things common in verse 44, it doesn't mean that everybody in the church dressed alike or that they all used the same words or that they all liked the same foods. No, the Bible is referring to those things that mattered the most. In verse 42, the Bible says that the church had four things that were common, or four things that distinguished them from everybody else on the earth. Number one, they continually devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. They continually devoted themselves to godly fellowship. They continually devoted themselves to the breaking of bread. And they continually devoted themselves to prayer. So all of those who had believed and who were saved and who had made up the visible church in the first century had four things common or alike among them. No one in the church dared to be at odds with another about these four issues because these four issues were critical to having a church that has Christ as the head. Now, the first thing that God's Word says that the early church had common among them was that saved people continually devoted themselves to something that Dr. Luke called the apostles' teaching. And they continued in the apostles' teaching in the sense that they were consistent in it. They were ongoing in it. So from this we know that the doctrine of the early church was not haphazard. It was not vague and it didn't change. It was a body of very precise teaching that was both learnable and teachable. So back then, people didn't make up what they believed as they went along. No one in the church felt that they had the right to believe whatever they wanted to believe. But they were all taught that one single doctrine that had been given to the apostles by God the Holy Spirit through direct divine revelation. You see, dear friends, the apostles' teaching was supernaturally revealed to those whom God chose to set up the church, and it was established and orchestrated by God, and it was ordained by God, and it was right, it was correct, it was rock solid, and it was holy. So during the time that the apostles set up the church, truth was not something that was a matter of opinion. Peter and John and James and Paul and the others were commissioned by God in similar fashion as were the Old Testament prophets. They were specially ordained, specially gifted, specially anointed to pin down what God was saying about the issues of God and the issues of godliness and the issues of life. And so what they wrote was as equally inspired as and God-breathed as that which the Old Testament prophets wrote. Now, the difference between the Old Testament writers and the New Testament apostles is that what the apostles wrote was the completed, full, and final revelation of God to man. What the Old Testament writers wrote was absolutely true. It was from God, but it was in part. It was a type or a shadow of the fullness of God contained in carnal ordinances and a tabernacle here on the earth. So what God the Holy Spirit was giving the apostles, their inspired epistles, was to give the explanation or the exposition or the complete understanding or the final revelation of what the Old Testament writers meant by what they wrote. So this gives us a very important concept that we need to know when reading and studying the Bible today. If you are going to correctly understand what the Old Testament says, then you've got to read and study the Old Testament through the lens or with the understanding of the New Testament epistles. If you read the Old Testament or even the Gospels without at least having a working knowledge of what God the Holy Spirit revealed to the apostles through the 21 New Testament epistles, you're going to get off base in your doctrine real quick. This is why in our day we have all of those little so-called messianic cults springing up everywhere. These people are trying to understand the Old Testament, especially the first five books of the Bible, without the knowledge of the final revelation given by God in the 21 epistles of the New Testament. So these people are not Jews who are going up the mountain to become Christians. No, these people are Christians who are going back down the mountain to become Jews. And even though many of these people mean well, they have nonetheless denied the Christian faith and are in jeopardy for their souls. Until the apostles began to pin down the New Testament, all of Holy Scripture was contained in the 39 books of the Old Testament. But once God had inspired and ordained the apostles to pin down their inspired writings, the 27 books of the New was added to the Old Testament, and now the 66 books are collectively called the Scriptures. So, for example, when Paul says in 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, all Scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work, Paul was rightly saying that those writings which comprise the New Testament were of equal value, equal importance, equal divine inspiration as were those writings that made up the Old Testament. The difference is that the 21 New Testament epistles are the guiding rule which gives us the proper understanding of all that God has spoken before and all that Jesus did while he was here on the earth. So from these 27 New Testament books, the 21 epistles, the four Gospels, the diary of the first 30 years of the church, which is the book of the Acts, and the prophecy of the New Testament, which is the book of the Revelation, those things collectively make up what we call the New Testament, which is now joined with the 39 Old Testament books. All of this is what Luke is calling the apostles' teaching. And Jesus himself had promised when he prophesied to Peter, James, and John and the rest in John 14:26, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I said to you. Now, Jesus was speaking very specifically to the apostles here. He was not talking to you and me in this verse. Jesus was telling these particular men that when the Holy Spirit came upon them, that he, God the Holy Spirit, would teach these men exactly what God meant by what God had spoken thousands of years earlier to Moses and to David and to all the prophets, and that he, the Holy Spirit, would then give the apostles the correct and full explanation of all the Old Testament writers had written down about Jesus even though the Old Testament writers themselves did not fully understand what they had written. And this full and final explanation and revelation from God to man was penned down for us and preserved for us in the 21 New Testament epistles, which were called the teaching books or the didactic books of the early church. Before God gave the New Testament epistles, the teaching books of the Holy Scriptures were the first five books of the Bible. But after the full and completed revelation of God was given to the apostles, the 21 epistles became the final authority of God because they explained what the shadows and the types and the figures and the incomplete revelation of the first five books spoke about. And this is why there was such great persecution in the early church from the Jews. The Jews looked at Christianity as attacking Moses, which it was not. True biblical Christianity does not attack Moses at all. It completes what Moses wrote. But even to this day, most Jews still have the veil over their face. And I understand that. But what I do not understand, and what is so tragic, is that people who were raised in church could be so deceived to think that by rejecting the final and complete revelation of God through Jesus Christ in the New Testament and returning to a partial, vague, and inferior revelation of Moses in the Old, that somehow that's a good thing. So when the Bible says that those who were saved and who were in the church continually devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, the Bible is telling us that the church held regular and consistent and in-depth and serious line upon line and precept upon precept studies of the Scriptures. They wanted to know what God said. They wanted to understand what God said. So they read and they studied the Old Testament, and then they read one or more of the New Testament epistles, or they sat and listened as John, Peter, Paul, or one of the other apostles explained what they were reading. Or if one of the apostles could not physically be in that particular church, and they did that so they could fully understand what God meant by what he had spoken in the Old. Now, it is wrong to say, and I'm certainly not saying, that we do not need the Old Testament. That's not what I am saying. But what I am saying, beloved, is that unless you read the Old Testament through the lens or with the understanding of the New Testament epistles, you will get off base real quick. And the proof that I'm right about this lies in the fact that the longer that you exclude New Testament revelation from your diet, you will come to the place where you deny the inspiration of some or most of the New Testament books. You will deny the deity of Jesus Christ, the Trinity, justification by faith alone, original sin, human depravity, and other essential doctrines that you need to be saved. Now, the saints in the early church knew what they believed, and so they could smell false doctrine and heresy a mile off. They devoted themselves continually to the apostles' teaching, and they were not drawn away by the latest and greatest pronouncements coming from the snake oil salesman who promised them everything as long as they kept those monthly pledges coming in. Beloved, imagine this. Not a single saint in the church was confused about who Jesus was. No one was confused about the doctrine of the Trinity. No one member of the early church was bewildered about whether shacking up was a sin. Everybody in the church knew what God's will was concerning marriage and about loving their wives and about raising children and about how to run a business and about how to handle money and how to pray and how to live a godly life. Well, how did they know all this? They devoted themselves continually to the apostles' teaching. Well, I'm going to have to stop right here, but please join me again on the next broadcast as we continue our journey through the Epistle of Jude. May God help us all.
Dear friends, if this radio broadcast of line upon line, precept upon precept teaching of God's holy word is a blessing to you, will you prayerfully consider supporting us financially? We want to increase our exposure here on the Gulf Coast through more radio stations and through the internet. Would you pray about coming alongside of us and help us do that to God's glory? For further information about how you can partner with us in seeing the gospel triumph in our area, or to receive a copy of today's broadcast, go to our website, www.covenantofpeace.net. Until next time, May the peace of God keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus.